We're on the inside scoop, so mark it well. We both think, at least in Northern Virginia, the Republican Party needs to be a little more moderate, a little more focused on issues like transportation, education, issues that Virginians care about, dinner plate issues, rather than the far religious right issues. As you pointed out, Mike, that might go over better in Lynchburg, Virginia. If you want to call in and join this debate, we're going to extend it. We're going to come back from the break. We're going to join in the National Syndicated Radio Show and talk in general, because I see this, Mike, as not just a Virginia problem, but an overall problem in the Republican Party between the conservatives and the moderates. And I think America is saying they've had a little too much of the far right. I want to know if you agree, and I want to know if you agree. Call in 877-528-TALK, 877-528-8255, or put a comment on the blog at radioinsidescoop.com. We'll be right back right after this.
As time flows on, there are places we return to again and again. Places that comfort us with their serenity. Places that astound us with their beauty. Places where our memories come to life. Precious places. Timeless places. Places that, with your help, can endure forever. I'm Paul Newman. Help the Nature Conservancy save the last great places around the world.
And now, from Washington, the Inside Scoop. All the news the government does not want you to hear. Now, here's your host on the Inside Scoop, Mark Levine.
Good evening, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop. Today is Debate Monday. My guest is Mike Lane. He works to elect Republicans. He's the president of Intellifant Strategies, trying to provide intelligence to his elephants that run his party. And we're talking about today, well, really anything you want to talk about. The toll-free number is 877-528-TALK. But one of the things that I want to talk about is the growing conflict between conservative Republicans and moderate Republicans. In the federal government, we see a revolt, in fact, of the moderate Republicans on the budget, on things like the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. And locally, in some of the races that occurred, whether it was in California, New Jersey, or in Virginia, you saw, I think, people run away from a Republican Party that ran to the right. In California, you had Governor Schwarzenegger, and it's, after all, a Democratic state. Mm-hmm. When he ran originally, Mike, he ran in the center. He attracted a lot of Democrats to his campaign. He took office, and immediately he ran to the right. He ran against unions, against nurses, and the voters said, no, that's not why we elected you. We thought you were a moderate. That's how I think California went. Do you agree with me on California?
I think Arnold Schwarzenegger is a moderate, and I think that he realizes what the voters don't realize out in California, which is that the problem with the state budget, the intransient difficulties they have in terms of getting a handle on everything going on, is that the public employee unions are running the state. And he's trying to come up with a series of issues or ballot issues that would have given him a stronger hand in terms of dealing with them. He lost 4-4. So clearly, he didn't make the case to his voters. But that's when I'll defend Arnold on that one. Had I been in California, he would have gotten one more vote on each of those issues.
Fine, he would have gotten it from you. But see, I see this as an overall problem. In California, in New Jersey, you had a race, again, basically a Democratic state. Forrester found he couldn't beat Corzine on the issues, so he brought in his ex-wife to say some nasty things about them. I don't think anyone would want their ex-spouses talking about them publicly.
Isn't it a shame that Governor-elect Corzine treated his wife and family so bad that she felt it necessary to say that?
I've always said that the way a person's family life is, if we're going to elect someone on that, we're going to elect them on how they treat the country, I'd rather look at that. Nixon, for all we know, was true to his wife, but he wasn't true to his country. And Bill Clinton, we know, was not true to his wife, but I think was very true to his country. And I'll tell you this, Mike, if I had an employee that worked for me, I would care about how they did their job rather than what was going on in the family life at home. But see, I think, to me, the voters rejected these. They rejected these kinds of dirty tricks. I want to play for you something that I received in Northern Virginia on an answering machine. This is an ad, and viewers, maybe you heard this ad too. I want you to guess who made this ad, and then we'll let you know. Can we play the ad, please?
Messages, Monday, 6:24 p.m.
This is a pro-choice voter alert. The National Abortion Rights Action League, NARAL, refused to endorse Tim Kaine in the election for governor. According to Anne O'Hanlon, president of NARAL, quote, "We can't endorse him. We just can't endorse him, given some of the things he said," end quote.
I'm Tim Kaine. I'm running for governor, and I'm not afraid to tell you where I stand. I oppose gay marriage. I support restrictions on abortion. No public funding and parental consent. And I work to pass a state law banning abortion.
In the race for governor, there is only one pro-choice candidate, independent Russ Potts, who has repeatedly blocked abortion restrictions when they came up in the Senate Education and Health Committee, which he chairs. Paid for and authorized by Honest Leadership for Virginia PAC, registration number 05-034.
Now, I can't begin to tell you how wrong I find this ad. Let's just go through it. First of all, Monday, 6:24 p.m. The time matters. It happened to be the evening right before the election, mm-hmm. primed to get to voters, but not to get to the press to talk about this ad. Number two, it says it's pro-choice voter alert. It talks about NARAL, the National Abortion Rights Action League, not endorsing Kaine. You might think that this was an ad from NARAL. Then it has Tim Kaine, at least it sounds like it's Tim Kaine, with some dissonant music, you know, to make you... By the way, the distortion is not our fault. That distortion was right there in the original robocall, talking about how he's against gay marriage, he supports restrictions on abortion. Then it says the best candidate, progressive candidate, is Russ Potts. And then it says, funded by Honest Leadership for Virginia's PAC. Now, you might think NARAL did the ad. You might think Tim Kaine did the ad. You might think Russ Potts did the ad. Actually, Honest Leadership for Virginia's PAC happens to be an arm of the Republicans Governor Association. That ad, to me, was a dirty trick, and it's these kinds of dirty tricks, one of the reasons why I think Republicans lost in Virginia.
Well, I don't think that particular ad is as dirty a trick as I've heard. Now, clearly, it is designed to confuse the voter and let them think there's a... But a lot of political campaign material is designed like that. You and I talked before the show started about another one where a particular someone, we don't know if it was tied to a candidate or not, did robocalls where they were claiming that their opponent had passed away and so therefore there was no need to go to the polls. That kind of thing will always backfire. In this case, I don't know if it backfired or not, but it clearly didn't work. I mean, Tim Kaine was elected, and he was elected handily by 6 percentage points, 5.5 percentage points, in a red state. And Tim Kaine's a blue guy, so clearly that didn't work. But the whole campaign didn't work. There are a number of reasons why Tim Kaine won this election. And I personally would not put an ad or a telephone call like that together. But in terms of the nastier picture, it's not the worst example I've ever heard.
Well, to me, I think that people did not know this came from the Kilgore campaign, and to me it shows an overall broader problem
with Republicans. It came from the Governor's Association.
We have to take a break. It came from the Republican Party, and the point is, I think people want to focus on issues that concern them in their daily lives. Stop with these wedge issues. 877-528-TALK.
This is Mommy's bed. Me and Jenny were jumping on it. Mommy's gun fell on the floor. I was a cowboy. Bang, 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 bang. I said, "Jenny, wake up, wake up. It's just pretend." But she wouldn't wake up.
If you give me a fish...
If you give someone a fish...
You feed them for a day.
Teach someone to fish.
You feed them for a lifetime.
Give me a fish, and you'll feed me for a day. Teach me to fish, and you'll feed me for a lifetime.
Through Volunteers of America, you can help change lives in your community.
Hey, mister, studied algebra in school and got a better job than I could. You take the last call.
Oh, no, mister. Stuck in an entry-level job because you only learned basic math. I don't have a boss riding my butt like you do, so you take it so you can get back to your desk.
You know, I probably should, but Maybe Miss AP Calculus with the $200 haircut in the big office upstairs would like a cup.
Oh, no, Mr. What was your name again? Never mind, it doesn't matter. I'm too busy doing important things to care. I just came down for some sweet nectar.
You know, if my limited math abilities weren't keeping me from getting a better job, I'd quit this afternoon.
I don't blame you. But thank goodness you're stuck here because we really need someone to make the coffee.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to Debate Monday here on the Inside Scoop. We're discussing the results of the election and the growing battle between conservatives and moderates in the Republican Party with my guest. His name is Mike Lane. He's the president of Intelligence Strategies. It is his job to provide advice, consulting advice, to Republican candidates. And I think we see a growing war. And frankly, I think that the elections are part of it. I think that the Republicans are realizing that America is tired of this far right-wing partisan stuff that's going on, and I think it showed it in California, New Jersey, and Virginia, and it's certainly the moderates in Congress are changing their mind. Most famously recently, you probably know, in the budget bill. The Republicans had a budget all ready to go. One of the things it would do is it would drill for oil in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. The moderates insisted that they should stop that, and they did. They won that battle. But even more so, and even more surprisingly, I think, to me and to the conservative Republicans, is the moderates won on the budget bill. The Republicans did a typical Republican budget. Cut student loans, cut food stamps, cut Medicaid, cut aid to the poor in order to give the rich more money. The Republicans, as I see it, generally believe the poor have too much money and the rich don't have enough. And they believe in transferring as much wealth as possible from poor people who are struggling to make a living to rich people who don't need to. This budget would have done exactly that, cutting student loans, cutting Medicaid, in order to give rich people dividend and capital gains tax cuts. Well, Senator Olympia Snow had had enough. As she put it, we have had a massive hurricane. We have to care for these people first. There was a revolt, and the conservatives surprisingly lost this round. Obviously, I think that's a very good sign. I doubt that Mike agrees. I'll get to him in a minute. But if you want to call in, the toll-free number is 877-528-TALK, 877-528-8255. Mike, I consider that a positive thing, the death of the budget bill. What do you think?
Well, it depends on what they come back with. But, I think the sad part was that we've reached a point now, for whatever reason, and I think that the reason is that we don't have a central goal that we're pursuing at this point. We're seeing a fracture of the Republican coalition. And it's not just the moderates versus the conservatives. In fact, I think a more serious split, to me, is a fracture of the coalition between the fiscal conservatives and the social conservatives. As long as that was a 50-50 proposition, the social conservatives were comfortable with the fiscal conservatives, and the fiscal conservatives were comfortable with the social conservatives as long as it was 50-50. But now we've reached a point, apparently, where I see the fiscal conservatives becoming less and less comfortable with this coalition, because the coalition is producing not issues that the fiscal conservatives are not comfortable with, but it's producing a style of battle, confrontational politics that they're not comfortable with. And at the same time, both in Virginia, where we started off talking about, and our audience knows that this show originates out of Virginia, not just in Virginia, but at the federal level as well, the Republicans are losing the mantle of the party of fiscal responsibility. And when the fiscal conservatives step outside of that coalition, you're going to see results like we saw in New Jersey and in Virginia, where Democrats are going to get elected because the Republicans don't have a 51% coalition to win.
Mike, again, we're agreeing way too much, so someone maybe needs to call in and tell us to disagree. But 2 years ago, in fact, I did a show with the Cato Institute decrying the big spending Republican Congress. we have, by far, the largest spending Congress in American history. However you want to calculate it, in real terms and in total terms and, you know, percentage of our economy terms, this government is taking us into huge debt. And it's a Republican Congress and a Republican president. And some people say, well, a Republican Congress is the reason why Bill Clinton brought us to a surplus. I don't know. But the only thing that changed between Bill Clinton and George Bush was the president. Republicans control the Congress all the time. Bill Clinton brought us to the greatest surpluses. Now, you and I both know, Mike, we have to pay this debt back. China, Saudi Arabia are owning more and more of us, and all that the conservatives, it seems to me, have to offer are more tax cuts to the rich.
Well, it's even worse than you're pointing out, because I have some specifics here that I'm going to read.
Stop agreeing with me. All right.
I'm telling you you're being too easy. I'll tell you where it needs to go.
All right.
All right. We all know the American Enterprise Institute is a highly respected, really well-positioned think tank that looks at things from the conservative viewpoint. According to a study from the American Enterprise Institute, inflation-adjusted discretionary spending increased by 35.1% in Mr. Bush's first term, outpacing even the once unfathomable benchmark of 33.4% set by Lyndon Johnson. Education spending up by 68%, usurping state power for education, pushed through the largest expansion of Medicare in history, signed tariffs on steel, and increase the budget of every cabinet agency, every single one. Even LBJ, Jimmy Carter, and Bill Clinton could never claim to have actually increased the budget for every single cabinet agency.
And at the same time, instead of paying for it, I mean, you could argue some of these things, Homeland Security, for example, I think is very necessary. Some of these things are well spent. I, by the way, don't mind more spending on education. I do mind the giveaways to the energy companies, the pharmaceutical companies, those hundreds of billions of dollars to Halliburton.
I have no problems with those. And I mind the giveaway to the teachers' union. So, you know, we're even there.
But I think we can all agree, hopefully, that if Congress is going to spend the money, they need to tax to pay for the money, because when you go into debt, it's just like those credit card bills that I hope all of you listening to this audience are trying to get rid of, because you have to pay interest on it. And what we're really doing is we're saying, we're not going to pay for what we want now, and your kids and your grandkids are going to have to pay double. They're going to have to pay taxes for their generation and our generation. It's completely irresponsible.
I found the place where we're going to disagree. You're thinking that most of this spending is pretty good, and so therefore what we just need to do is have revenues and taxes high enough to pay for it all. I'm thinking most of this spending is pretty bad, and we don't need to increase taxes. Our problem is on the spending side, not the tax side. We finally disagree.
Well, no, I think that the giveaways to Halliburton and to the energy companies who are making massive profits and the pharmaceutical companies, yes, those are bad.
As far as
food stamps for the poor and student loans, you're right. I've never seen a student loan that I didn't like. If you want to call in, 877-528-TALK. We'll be right back after this.
Mrs. DeBruzzo, I'm Ed McMahon, and we're signing up people for...
Yes, I am.
Miss Murphy, Ed McMahon. We're starting up...
No.
Dreams really do come true.
Dinero.
Yes, Ed McMahon, see.
Ed McMahon.
Yes, Ed McMahon. We're having our first ever...
Ed McMahon.
Yes. Tuesday night at the high school. We're starting up the neighborhood watch in this area, and here's all the information.
Stevie, get down here, please.
No, he's just here. It's just...
Five, six, seven, eight.
No tango, Danelle. Neighborhood watch. We're having this neighborhood watch, the first one.
Right. Larry, I'll come back.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Start a neighborhood watch. It's just one of the many ways you can help make America stronger. To find out how, call or log on for this free guide.
When I was young, my dad always told me to dream big and dream often.
My mom and dad were always my biggest cheerleaders.
I've been very fortunate to have parents that care, but some kids aren't so lucky.
That's why the Major League Baseball players trust for children.
Same with Volunteers of America, to help kids everywhere.
For more than 100 years, Volunteers of America has helped children, families, and many others rebuild their lives.
Our Share With a Child partnership wants you to give kids your time, guidance, and support.
That's
work together to give every child a chance. Find out how you can help a child dream big.
Call 1-800-899-0089 or visit volunteersofamerica.org.
From Washington, back to the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. If you want to join in this discussion, all you have to do is pick up the phone and dial 877-528-TALK, 877-528-8255. My guest is Mike Lane. He's the president of Intellifant Strategies. He works to get Republicans elected. Before the break, we were talking about some of the fiscal debate that we have, a question of where we spend our funds. I think that no matter what spending we have, we should at least have the taxes to pay for it. We shouldn't run huge deficits. Can we agree on that point, Mike, or no?
I agree that we should not run the kind of deficits we're running, and I'll be glad to, you know, just wipe off all the increases that we've had over the last 2 years outside of protecting public safety and national security, and we'll start from where we were 2 years ago, and we'll have a much better budget.
Well, you know, on a lot of that, I would agree. Certainly, the giveaways to Halliburton and to energy companies who are making massive profits right now. But on, you know, on some things, I do think we need more money for teachers, for example. I know that you can get a better product, you can get a better teacher if you pay teachers more, but obviously we need to know where the money's going.
We, as I said, Mark, you know, over the first 4 years of the Bush administration, of the Bush the second administration, we have had a 68% increase in federal funding for education. And what have we gotten for it? Absolutely nothing. I mean, Eric Burden would be just, you know, as mad as he could be about this whole thing and singing his song. We need accountability in the classroom. We need something that says when we have higher expectations for our students that we graduate, everybody can read. I really mean it, that there should be no child left behind. There needs to be accountability.
I agree there needs to be accountability. The problem is no child left behind, of course, is that it's taking money from poor schools and giving it to rich schools. We're basically leaving children behind exactly in the process. So I have to say, hearing you mention accountability, a Republican mentioning accountability to me is like manna from heaven. What is that word that George Bush uses for accountability? Oh, I remember. Blame game. That's right. He says if you want to call the president accountable, that's the blame game. Oh, Hurricane Katrina. Mike Brown was busy eating a fancy dinner. Couldn't be related. Couldn't be found. That's the blame game. Mike, we need more accountability in government, not less. We need to know, for example, how the administration used intelligence to get us into war. They refused to talk about that. When will this president be accountable for his actions from this Congress?
The president has already indicated he's accountable for his actions, and he's perfectly willing to shoulder the blame for anything that goes wrong on his watch. Look, let's take Katrina right off the table, okay? I'm not going to defend Mike Brown. I'm not going to say that he was a great
FEMA director.
The president
said he was doing a heck of a job.
Well, you know,
Brown, he was.
You say a lot of things like that when some guy is in the midst of it, but you know what? We all know Mike Brown did not do a heck of a job.
No, he didn't.
He was worried about where his dinner reservations were going to be. He was worried about how he looked on TV during... How do I look on TV? You know, I mean, it's ridiculous. But if you want to apportion blame for Katrina, it's about 80% in Louisiana, where you have a wholly incompetent governor and just a weirdo wacko for a mayor in New Orleans.
An ex-Republican. Let's talk about the intelligence. Yes, because we had basically a shutdown of the Senate, a closed session, because the Republicans were stonewalling on the basic question of how the administration used intelligence to get us into war. Were they cherry-picking intelligence? Everyone I've talked to on this issue says absolutely they were. It was Dick Cheney misusing intelligence on purpose to lie to Americans to get us into war. If that's not the case, Mike, why do not they want a congressional investigation of it?
Well, first of all, let's talk about Harry Reid and his, you know, grandstanding and things like that. What it worked was it worked on, again, bringing even more condescension and more acrimony to the Senate, a body that is already having difficulty working together. And Harry Reid intentionally, in an unprecedented move, blindsided the leader with a parliamentary motion that in 200 years history of the Senate had never been done. You know, it's just his lack of responsibility just appalls me.
Lack of responsibility.
How he can do that is beyond
40
me.
Senators wrote the president and said, you promised us
All right.
That you would do an investigation as to how intelligence was used to get us into war. And you know what they got back? They got a form letter.
Okay.
Dear Senators, thank you so much for writing. We will take your issues of concern. And if Harry Reid hadn't surprised, by the way, in the Senate, I think you know this, they could have done a roll call and prevented him from getting up to speak. It had to be a surprise, and he got something out of it. He got a promise by Pat Roberts, chairman of the Intelligence Committee, Republican of Kansas, to actually do the investigation he promised 2 years ago into how the administration was going to use intelligence.
And the Senate Intelligence Committee was doing that. Look, we've had three investigations of this. We've had the Robb Commission, we've had the Independent Commission, and we've had the Senate Intelligence Committee, all of whom have investigated this thoroughly, and all of whom have come to the exact same conclusion, and that was that there was no misuse of intelligence at all.
All of them, all three of them, were not allowed by this administration to investigate how the administration used the intelligence. That's the question. 877-528-TALK. We'll be right back.
Mr. Murphy, Ed McMahon, we're starting up the neighborhood watch in this area, and here's all...
Stevie, get down here, please.
No, he's just here. It's just...
5, 6, 7, 8.
That's really cute.
Start a neighborhood watch. It's just one of the many ways you can help make America stronger. To find out how, call or log on for this free guide.
To you... This is a place to make macaroni and cheese. To someone else, it's a way to make a kid sorry for what he did. Preventing child abuse and neglect doesn't just mean reporting it. It means stopping it before it starts. Find out how at PreventChildAbuse.org or 1-800-CHILDREN. A child is helpless. You are not.
Commonly found in the transverse segment of the colon with vascular congestion and smooth surface.
Typically, the biopsy proved to be a tubulovillous adenoma.
It's a polyp. Why doesn't he just come right out and say it? It's a polyp.
Sir, do you mind?
Look at your textbook.
Could I see that pointer?
We got one.
Stopping colon cancer is simple. Get the polyp early and stop colon cancer before it even starts.
Wait.
Just get the test.
I need the credits.
Get the polyp.
Attica!
Oh, shut up!
Get the cure.
I can listen.
I can cook.
Good. I can coach.
Kids with something to do are less likely to do drugs.
I can drive.
I can paint.
I can dance.
A little of your time can make a lifetime of difference.
I can read.
I can help. You can help. Call toll-free 1-877-KIDS-313 to find out about community drug prevention programs.
I can keep a kid off drugs.
It is about balancing our choices between the gray of the concrete jungle and the stunning beauty of the real one, between a stoic facade of granite and the fury of the canyon. It's why there's EarthShare, the simple way to find balance. EarthShare is the workplace giving program bringing the leading environmental groups under one umbrella. Support EarthShare, support them all. EarthShare. Please ask your employer about workplace giving. To learn more, visit our website.
Come on, David. Come on, David.
Let's go, David. Come on.
Come on, David. You got to come on.
Get as involved in your kids' education as in everything they do. And imagine the success they might find. Stay in touch with the teacher. Visit the school. For more tips, call 1-800-281-1313.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop with my guest, Mike Lane, president of Intelligent Strategies. If you want to call in and join in the debate, you can agree with both of us, you can disagree with both of us. Either way, dial in 877-528-TALK, 877-528-8255. I know some of you would prefer to write on the blog than to be heard on live. All you have to do is go to radioinsidescoop.com and post your comments there. You know, I want to tell a tale of two leaks with apologies to Charles Dickens. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times.
Best of leaks, worst of leaks?
Well, exactly. Let's talk about the best of leaks, the worst of leaks. To me, the best of leaks is a leak by a whistleblower informing the American people and informing Congress that we happen to have secret, hidden prison camps that are keeping detainees hidden, that without any Red Cross, anyone watching them. To me, that's the best of leaks. To me, the worst of leaks is to have the President of the United States, who doesn't need to leak, he can go on camera and say anything he wants, and his White House finger a CIA agent trying to work to protect us against weapons of mass destruction in order to get back at Joe Wilson, her husband, who is merely telling the truth about nuclear weapons. What struck me is that when this new leak came out about hidden prison camps, the Democratic response, John Kerry, was to pass legislation requiring Dom Rumsfeld to disclose the secret prison camps to Congress and the American people. The Republican response, Bill Frist, we got to punish those leakers. How dare they tell the world that we are secretly mistreating and torturing people? I think that leak was worthwhile.
I'm not sure that anybody told anybody that we were secretly mistreating or torturing anybody. I think what the article said was that we had some camps, and this is still not confirmed, although the Washington Post felt comfortable enough with it to run with it. But we had some camps where we were detaining the truly, truly bad guys. We're not just talking about the suicide bombers. We're not talking about the people who will kill women and kids. We're talking about the really bad guys. I mean, the ones who are the leaders that plan it, that order assassination of women and children and government officials, and are truly trying to destabilize the entire Middle East and plunge the whole world into war. Those are the guys that, if there are these camps that we're holding there. Now, first of all, what are we doing, or what's it alleged that's been doing? It's alleged that they're not getting the protections afforded to them under the Geneva Convention.
That's,
you know what?
Alleged.
They're not entitled to it. They are not captured enemy soldiers. They're violating every tenet of international law themselves, the way they're fighting this, and they are not entitled to have the protections of the Geneva Convention. If we choose to be nice and give it to them, and some people would argue we ought to have a higher moral ground and choose to give it to them, but there is absolutely no legal requirement, domestic or international, that we provide them with these protections.
Well, let me back up. First of all, Bill Frist, the Senate Majority Leader, didn't deny the camps existed. He just got mad at the person who leaked it. If someone leaked false information, I don't think he'd be mad at the leaker. I think you and I can safely assume these camps exist. Secondly, if this is such a good thing, and we should definitely have these camps, and these are awful, vicious guys, as you say, and of course your information comes from the White House, who's leaking information, doing exactly the same thing, saying these are really bad guys.
All I know is what I read in the Washington Post.
If it's true, why keep it secret? If it's a good thing, why keep it secret? It's okay, I think, to say we won't give the exact location of the prison because we're afraid it'll be bombed or something. I have no problem with that. But to say we're not even going to disclose that these camps exist, that they exist, that we take people, that we don't give them basic rights and freedoms, if it's a good thing to do this, why not let Congress know? Why not at least let the intelligence committees know? Let Congress know about it. Apparently, they didn't. John Kerry has a bill, which, by the way, has significant Republican support, and I think it's going to pass, to require Don Rumsfeld to disclose to Congress these secret prison camps. If it's such a good thing, why not let us know about it?
Well, I don't think it's going to pass. John Kerry, he's running for president. He's trying to grandstand. He's trying to run as far and hard left as he can.
You don't think it's
so
a good bill?
No, I think it's an atrocious bill. And the reason it's an atrocious bill is there's a reason this is classified. What happened on the Arab street when the known abuses from Abu Ghraib became known? There was a tremendous negative reaction. It set our cause back months, if not a year, in Iraq. This is the kind of thing that doesn't need to be known. Abu Ghraib was particularly difficult because
that wasn't the war zone.
Over here, we do not want to artificially or unnecessarily inflame the other side. They're already such low-level barbarians anyway. It's hard to imagine them getting worse, but they would.
I really hate this argument. Here's the argument, folks, in a nutshell. It's okay to torture people as long as no one knows about it.
I didn't say we were torturing anybody, and I don't think the Washington Post said that we were torturing anybody.
Look, if it's not good to disclose these things because the world gets mad and gets angry at Americans, then you know what? It's even worse to cover it up. We should let people know what's going on. If it's a good thing, if people deserve the death penalty, put them on trial and execute them, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, then,
but this argument that, we can do all these awful things, they're really not that awful, but we're not going to disclose them, because if we disclose them, people will get really upset. Abu Ghraib, was it wrong to disclose what happened at Abu Ghraib? Was that wrong?
Should we have not disclosed it? Should we have just let it continue?
No, we should not have let it continue, but we should not have disclosed it.
But
it should
only
have,
the disclosure stopped it, Mike, and you know that.
No, actually, it had stopped 2 months before the disclosures. They had made changes. They had realized
it's
what was going
still
on.
Going
it has
on
a,
today.
There are violations going on. There are violations going on in Virginia prisons. I mean, there are. You know, you're never going to have a perfect world.
Mike, it's not violations. It's
it
national
is.
Policy. Why is
no,
it that
not.
When John McCain, a man that you and I both respect, one of the few Republicans I do respect,
all right.
wants to
you
pass
might have
a
more
bill,
than I do.
Well, there are a few. Chris Shays, I'll name some others. But when he wants to pass a bill
right.
to prohibit torture, to make very clear that you cannot do these things. That are against international law, against conventions we signed.
Mm-hmm.
And frankly, he's got large support by both Democrats and Republicans.
90-9, wasn't it? Something like that?
George Bush has threatened to veto this bill. Now,
right.
George Bush has not vetoed a single bill in 5 years. The one thing he's going to hang his hat on is torture.
What
the one thing he believes on, more than cutting spending, more than anything else, is he wants to torture people. That's what our president's all about.
Well, Mark, as you know, it's a very complicated bill with a number of provisions and things like that, and it's not just restating our already committed policy of no torture. There are other things
he
in there.
He could negotiate. He could say, we want to do this. We want to be able to rip their arms out but not hold
no,
them underwater.
No. There are other things in there that are so frivolous that I can't believe anybody would say, well...
John McCain wrote a frivolous bill?
Yes, he did. Well,
what was it?
There's a provision in there that says that we cannot treat anybody in a manner that might be embarrassing to them. You know, oh, give me a break. These people are barbarians. They're heathens. They are hell-bent on the destruction of America. We have them in prisons, and yet John McCain or the Senate doesn't want us to treat them in manners that might be embarrassing or, no, excuse me, the exact word in the legislation is humiliating them. We can't treat them in a way that humiliates them. Oh, please.
John McCain was in a North Vietnamese prison camp.
Right, I know
he
that.
He was mistreated. I know you know that.
Yes, he
was. I
know
that our listeners know that. Dare I do something and actually invoke the golden rule here? I mean, love thy neighbor as thyself. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Can't you see that if we have a pattern in practice of mistreating, humiliating, torturing prisoners, and we can argue over hold someone's head underwater for 30 seconds is not torture, but a minute is torture. If we do these practices, aren't we then acting just like our enemies, Saddam Hussein and all the rest of them? How can we argue to the Iraqi people that we're any better than Saddam Hussein when we do the exact same tortures that he does?
I am with you 100% on the torture part. I am not with you on the total context of the McCain bill. It just goes too far. It needs to be started from scratch.
But, Mike, that wasn't Cheney's argument. Dick Cheney didn't say your argument, well, which is John McCain. I agree with you.
No,
but Dick Cheney said is, we want the CIA to have free reign
right.
to do whatever they want. That's what Dick Cheney said. You don't support that view, do you?
I think the vice president would go further than I personally would go on the whole thing. But I think he's got a strong point, which is that there are, these people are not entitled to the protections of the Geneva Convention. Just flat out. No
we
one would make...
We gave the Nazis the protections of the Geneva Convention in our prisoner of war camps.
They were entitled to it.
Yet.
They were entitled to it.
Right. The Nazis are, and these people who are just fighting to get occupiers out of their country, many of them are not.
As bad as the Nazis were, these people are worse than the Nazis.
877-528-TALK, 877-528-8255. You can join in this discussion if you want. We'll be right back after this.
This is Mommy's bed. Me and Jenny were jumping on it.
Pick your phones.
Right.
Cameras.
Mommy's gun fell on the floor. I was a cowboy. Bang, 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 bang. I said, Jenny, wake up, wake up. It's just pretend. But she wouldn't wake up.
If you give me a fish...
If you give someone a fish...
You feed them for a day.
Teach someone to fish.
You feed them for a lifetime.
Give me a fish, and you'll feed me for a day. Teach me to fish, and you'll feed me for a lifetime.
Through Volunteers of America, you can help change lives in your community.
Oh,
Hey, mister, studied algebra in school and got a better job than I could. You take the last cup.
Oh, no, 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 mister. Stuck in an entry-level job because you only learned basic math. I don't have a boss riding my butt like you do, so you take it so you can get back to your desk.
You know, I probably should, but maybe Miss AP Calculus with a $200 haircut in the big office upstairs would like a cup.
Oh, no, mister. What was your name again? Never mind, it doesn't matter. I'm too busy doing important things to care. I just came down for some sweetness, sir.
You know, if my limited math abilities weren't keeping me from getting a better job, I'd quit this afternoon.
I don't blame you. But thank goodness you're stuck here because we really need someone to make the coffee.
From Washington, back to the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I think that Mike Lane and I have reached a sort of a basic impasse about how we think of America and how we think of the world. And we're talking about these torture bills. As far as I'm concerned, I do hold America to a higher standard. I do hold my country to a higher standard. I do not want us treating people as the Nazis or the North Vietnamese or Saddam Hussein treated their people, treated our people.
I concur.
I think that we have a right to hold them to a higher standard. And the other thing that I've learned from what I've read on the subject is that trickery, deception, which I have no problem with, actually works better than torture. People who are tortured will say anything to stop the torture, and they can't be relied on. And some of this information we later learn out is false. Whereas deception sometimes does a better job. If you don't like John McCain's bill, why not say, all right, I support amending XYZ, instead of Dick Cheney saying we want a complete exemption or George Bush threatening to veto the bill?
Well, I'm with you completely, Mark, on the torture part. We don't need to do it. There are better, more effective ways of doing it. Occasionally, it may work. I don't know. Other countries do it routinely, and they seem to get results from it.
Who gets results from it? Even Israel, by the way, which faces a lot more terrorism than we do. Its right. Supreme Court banned this back in 1999, and frankly, they built a wall, and the terrorist attacks are going down, but it's certainly not from them stopping, you know, torture.
Right.
Had nothing to
well,
do with
well,
it.
Well, I mean, you mentioned the Saddam regime before he left, that he was known for torture. So there's one example. I think, you know, most independent reports would put Syria in that camp.
Right.
Iran.
But that doesn't mean we should do it.
You just asked me who did it and who got results out of it.
I don't think they got results. I think that a dictator does torture for other reasons. They do it to invoke fear. They do it to scare their population. Mm-hmm. I don't think we should have those things on our agenda. I do want to go to the phones, though. We have Gordon from Michigan. Gordon, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Hi, Mark. I think Mike shows his naivety in thinking that you get results from this torture. Most of your too intelligent people know from experience that you don't necessarily get good results from torture. But the idea that you can, that you should disguise or not disclose this torture is another falsehood because you're not disguising it from the enemy. The enemy knows what's happening, and that's who you have to worry about. All you think you're not disclosing it to is to your own people.
I think Gordon makes
and
a very strong
point. And that's what the real iniquity
there.
Of that situation is.
I think Gordon makes a very strong point there. The enemy knew they were being tortured at Abu Ghraib. The enemy knows they're in secret prison camps. They know all this. They tell their masses are inflamed. The only people who don't know are the American people, who are supposed to be the bosses of the president who controls the military. The only people who don't know are those of us in charge who can tell the president, we don't want you to do this kind of stuff.
Well, I absolutely disagree. The enemy did not know about if these prison camps in Eastern Europe existed. If they did, it would have been all over Al Jazeera and would have been picked up by our particular networks here. So the fact that the Washington Post came out with a scoop a week ago or 10 days, whenever it was, on this whole thing was clear indication that the enemy had no idea what was going on. Mark, I'm getting the idea that you just don't believe in classified information, that we should just declassify everything and let it all hang out there. Is there anything that you would go for classifying?
I have no problem classifying names, locations. I don't want to talk about who our spies are, unlike Dick Cheney, who apparently wants to broadcast everywhere about Valerie Plame.
Come.
I don't want to disclose, you know, who our spies are, how we get our data, things like that. But national policy, and I think whether or not to torture is national policy, whether or not to give detainees rights, you know, of course, Senator Lindsey Graham just got a bill passed in the Senate by 49 to 42, largely a partisan bill, that said despite the fact that the United States Supreme Court said these detainees have to have a hearing, that it is un-American, it is unconstitutional, it is against our Bill of Rights to take somebody, hold them in prison forever and not charge them. Now, the mostly Republicans, some Democrats in Congress, are saying, we don't need to follow the Bill of Rights. We don't need to charge anyone ever. We don't have to give these detainees their rights in court. That's astounding to me.
The Supreme Court's been wrong before, and it'll be wrong again. Senator Graham is just correcting an error that the court made. I have no idea why the court decided as it did. But the fact is,
you don't think they have any right to habeas corpus, any court relief. They can stay in jail for 100 years.
Absolutely
no. Without trial.
They have no rights to access to American courts. They are not American citizens.
How about Jose Padilla? Who is an American citizen?
They are not American citizens. They are not on American soil. They're not under the system.
Guantanamo Bay.
They're not under the system of American jurisprudence. There's absolutely no reason why they should have access to American courts.
They're being held by Americans on territory, Guantanamo Bay particularly, controlled by Americans.
All right.
And your view is that when Americans take a foreigner prisoner on land controlled by America, they are above the law. They can do whatever they want. They can kill them. They have no recourse. You agree with that, Mike?
I would not personally kill them, but I will say that
But they have no legal recourse.
They're not entitled to the rights under the Geneva Convention, and they're not entitled...
They have no rights at all,
and
do
they're
they,
not entitled to access... No, they don't have any rights. They might have the rights to, you know, three meals a day and a cot to sleep on, or, you know, maybe we'll just give them a blanket on the ground. I don't know. These people are just, they are not entitled to anything.
What if they're innocent? What if somebody's accidentally caught up in all this and they haven't done anything wrong?
How do you accidentally get caught up in a battle with an RPG on your shoulder? You don't
you
get accidentally caught with an RPG.
To determine exactly what's going on. Gordon, I don't want to cut you off. What do you have to say?
The Iraqis knew about the atrocities in Abu Ghraib years before it was disclosed to the American people. You say that PR doesn't matter, Mike?
Gordon, say that one more time.
The Iraqis, he said the Iraqis.
Yes, the Iraqi people knew about the atrocities going in Abu Ghraib years before it was disclosed to the Americans.
Right.
You say that PR doesn't matter?
No, PR does matter.
Absolutely
PR matters. And my point was that the... Gordon, thank you for your question. My point was that the abuse... The majority of the abuse, nothing ever stops completely, but the majority of the abuse stopped in Abu Ghraib a full 60 days before the facts started dribbling out in the press.
But Mike, there's a greater problem, and it goes to American credibility. No one can believe a word we say, right? I mean, we're saying, we're not telling you, we're lying about all this stuff. Why can't we keep the names of our spies secret, but the methods we use, if we're going to use torture, let's say it proudly, or let's get rid of it. 877-528-TALK. We'll be back after this.
Sweetheart, smoke outside now. You promised.
Okay, hon.
Sweetheart, smoke outside now. You promised.
What kind of man are you?
I'm a father.
Look here, my father was a father, and he smoked his brains out in the house.
Watch as he blows those smoke rings on my little red face.
You probably have asthma.
Asthma?
Asthma.
I'm telling you, nothing's going to happen to your kids.
I swear.
Don't swear when you're lying. You know very well that thousands of kids get bronchitis, ear infections, and even pneumonia from their parents' cigarette smoke. And didn't you promise your little angels you'd smoke outside?
Hey, Daddy.
Hi, Daddy.
Those little devils are just so sweet.
Do the right thing.
Please, smoke outside.
Until you can stop, go out for your kids.
Take the pledge. Call 1-800-513-1157.
It is more than a trial by fire.
it is a rite of passage. A challenge to join the elite. And if you succeed, if you can master your fear, outsmart your enemy, and never yield, even to yourself, you will be changed forever. The few, the proud, the Marines.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. We have just a few minutes left with my guest, Mike Lane, the president of Intellifent Strategies. He helps Republicans get elected to office. And both of us have had some problems with the Republicans getting elected to office for some different reasons. It's interesting, Mike, I was going through the weblog. A lot of people, some call it the show, some write on the weblog at radioinsidescoop.com. Maybe we can show that on the screen. But as you go through the weblog here, we have different comments. We have Robert, who talks about Bush's comment on Veterans Day, how the president used his Veterans Day speech to politically attack his opponents, and whine on how he's picked on. Mark, will you please tell Mr. Lane to tell Rove, to tell Cheney, to tell Bush that Veterans Day is not about poor George's poll numbers, and it's not all about George. Just of one of my many observations. Mike, why is it that Bush still feels the need to defend this war if it's so clear to at least the administration?
Well, clearly there has been a well-executed game plan on behalf of the Democrats in conjunction with the national press for 60 days where they've just been beating the drum that Bush lied to get us into war, and it's begun to take some root. If you repeat a lie often enough, it becomes truthful. And people start believing it.
You doubt that Bush lied to get us into war?
Absolutely.
Well, let me ask you this. Why is it that in the three investigations we talked about...
He was certified innocent by all three of them.
In all three investigations, President Bush insisted that the one subject that you could not even investigate, and everyone says the one thing we're not looking at is how the administration used intelligence. In other words, there's millions of pieces of intelligence, and... eight are from unreliable sources. And guess what? The administration happened to use those eight. By sheer serendipity, it relied on the eight things and not on the tons of intelligence that showed that there was nothing whatsoever there.
Look, the Senate...
He didn't know that it was false.
The Senate leaders had access to the national to the national intelligence estimate.
Yes,
they did.
But the national intelligence estimate, you know, took all the good stuff, right, and put it in the footnotes and the classified version. I know you know this. The 2001 National Intelligence Estimate didn't even mention Saddam Hussein. In 2002, he suddenly was a big threat.
Well, we're all willing to agree that that the intelligence failures surrounding the events leading up to 9/11 and subsequent after that have been documented. I mean,
right.
The intelligence
the
has not
the
been
failure
getting it all
is
right.
There. Is because Dick Cheney was down there creating the false intelligence. He was going there and saying, oh, you can't find evidence that Cheney's connected? That Saddam Hussein is connected to Al-Qaeda? Look again. Find me anything. Your job depends on it.
Let me tell you how bad it's gotten for the Democrats and how they're really risking any credibility they have on this. Yesterday on Fox News Morning, Chris Wallace...
The Fox Propaganda Channel. I don't see it very often. Go ahead.
Okay. This is actually not the Fox News Channel. This is Fox Network.
Okay.
Chris Wallace was interviewing Senator Jay Rockefeller, the Democratic minority leader of the Senate Intelligence Committee. And he asked him about, did he see the National Intelligence Estimate? Rockefeller said yes. Did you see all the caveats and all the questions and all the everything put in there by the State Department that they weren't real sure? Yes, I saw all that. It was all in there. I read it. I knew it. I considered it. Then Wallace said, but yet you went further than President Bush, and you said that the threat from Saddam was, in your words, Senator, it was imminent. Yes, I said that, you know, blah, blah, blah. And after all these things, after knowing all these things, Senator, you still voted for the war, and are you not responsible for your vote? And you know what? Rockefeller said, no, I'm not responsible for my vote.
I time's about up. But the problem is, first of all, not everything was in the National Intelligence Estimate that should have been there. It was cherry-picked. And the part the American public could see, and they were pressuring the Senate, was not there. Thank you for tuning in to the Inside Scoop. Tomorrow, we've got another debate, very interesting on the radio. My guest is going to be Catherine DeBrett. She is the author of Help Mom, There Are Liberals Under My Bed, a children's book that caricatures liberals. It should be a very interesting debate. And then Wednesday, we've got a specialist on the oil contract being signed in Iraq. That's right, my friends. It was all about oil. Don't miss the Inside Scoop tomorrow, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Mark Levine signing off.
I've got a pop quiz for you. How well can you do? What's the last magazine you bought at the show?
Do we not broadcast TV, the last segment?
50 okay. seconds.
All right.
No. The last segment's broadcast on TV.
Okay.
I have two sign-offs.
When I looked at it, just didn't see
TV. No. I did. I said that's it for the Inside Scoop.
Right. Okay.
Then the TV goes off, and then I get 50 more seconds on radio, and that's why I always talk about future shows.
Gotcha. Okay.
Because there is no picture,
gotcha.
But there's sound on right. radio only.